everyday life, your home, your routines, your motherhood, is actually your front line for kingdom impact. What if your home wasn't just a home? It was a shining citadel in the midst of a battle-torn world. Christians today, both men and women, are at war against the powers of darkness. Our society is completely saturated with toxic feminism. Everywhere we look, the family unit is under attack. True biblical masculinity is scorned, and children are seen not as blessings, but as burdens. For most women, true biblical womanhood is a complete mystery. They're constantly taught to pursue selfish ambition, see themselves as victims, and chase after a life outside the home and away from their people. This is why the Keeping the Citadel magazine exists. Keeping the Citadel magazine was created to equip women with something better, a rich biblical vision of the beauty of true femininity, along with solid practical wisdom for building a faithful, life-giving home. This isn't fluff content or surface-level encouragement. Each issue is beautifully designed and filled with theologically grounded articles, practical homemaking and discipleship tools, family culture vision, abundant counsel from Titus 2 mentors, all designed to help you embrace your high calling of a wife, a mother, an educator, and a homemaker. It's time Christians take this battle seriously. We live in a day where women need to be called higher. Women don't need any more coddling. They need to be exhorted to robust, courageous, productive living for the kingdom of God. And they need to be told where their battle posts are and how to live out their unique calling. They need to be taught how godly women can properly engage in this battle against the powers of darkness. And we believe that such women are the most valuable in this fight when faithfully manning their posts at home, or as we like to say, their citadels. If you want to know how you can better transform both your home and your life into a shining citadel for the kingdom of God, this magazine is for you. Be sure to subscribe now or by January 15th in order to get the upcoming spring issue, The Battle for Beauty, at keepingthecitadel.com. Use code FRUITFULANDFEARLESS to get free shipping off your first order. And I can say I got the last issue. I have written an article for it. Becky has written an article for it. And guys, this magazine is top quality. The pages, it gives you the fizz. It's like really nice matte paper. It's something you want to keep on the shelf for a long time and keep as a resource. It is amazing. I really, really love it. I am subscribing and I hope that you check it out. Welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast, where we're serving up gospel-fueled courage to the Christian woman to remain faithful in her calling. Hello and welcome to the Fruitful and Fearless podcast. I am Jordan Sparks, and Jared and I get to record today, and I'm pretty excited about it. I'm actually very excited about this episode.
Good. It's been a minute.
It has. I know. Becky and Kate have taken over your spot.
I know. I can't be on Fruitful and Fearless anymore.
No. But actually, Kate and Becky and I have a really good routine of on Fridays at school. We have that perfect little slot. So
it's been good. It's been great content. Yeah. I mean, I get to hear it and edit it every time, which is fun. And I think you and I don't know, it's probably been 2 or 3 months at least.
Probably since we've done an episode together. But we thought that in honor of Valentine's Day, it would be fun to do an episode together and tell you guys our love story that God has written for us, just in efforts to reflect back on all God's faithfulness and all that we have to be thankful for in our life and in our marriage. And hopefully that will inspire you guys to reflect on your marriage and the love story that God has written in your life and to be thankful. So we celebrated our 10-year anniversary of Christ Church today, and we had a big feast and celebration, and it was full of lots of reflecting, and that was really, really cool.
It was. Providence came to us at one point because there was a Rolodex of pictures that was showing up on the screen, and she was weeping. And you're like, "Why are you crying?" And she's like, "Mom, she can't handle sweet things," and just could not.
I can't handle it. Yeah. I can barely watch the pictures either. I just can't. She and I both, we can't handle sweet things. Don't say nice things to us. We can't handle it. We just cry, and we'll cry for days. And she couldn't handle the pictures of everybody when they were little. And she was like, "I just love everyone so much. I just love you guys so much." And I was like, "I love you too."
It really was. It was precious.
It's just really sweet.
To watch all our babies grow up together. We just were praying before we got on here. And the church, being 10 years old, is so tied in with, I mean, the whole time together, since we've been together, I've been in pastoral ministry. I mean, when we met, I was pastoring a church. Small church, but I was still pastoring.
Mm-hmm.
So our whole life together, so much for not marrying a pastor, by the way.
Yeah. So before I think the only profession I had ever said before I got married was, I don't want to marry a pastor, which is really funny. But my dad pastored whenever I was growing up, in my growing up years, and I just knew that it was very difficult and very painful at times. And so that was the only thing that I was like, that wasn't awesome. So don't want to do that. And God is like, actually, yes, you will do that.
Yeah.
And
we have been through some difficult seasons that we've talked about to lesser and greater degrees on here before, but we've had a really sweet 10 years. It's been
It's also been interesting too, because Ransom's 11. So those 10 years have also been our years of having babies.
Mm-hmm.
We planted the church as we were building this house at the same time.
Yeah.
Which, looking back now, I'm like, whoa, no wonder I got hives at the end of all of that. I had like a month of hives.
And our combined income that year was $27,000.
Yeah. We were really poor, building a house and planting a church all at the same time, and had a 2-year-old, right? He was two? One?
Yeah, two.
I guess.
Yeah, he's two.
It's 2016. So he would have turned two that year.
Yeah.
So it was a lot all in 1 year, and a lot of things all tied together within this past 10 years
mm-hmm.
to think back on, wow, this has been a big 10 years in my life.
It's true.
God has done so much in these past 10 years. And just to think back on his faithfulness has been incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible. I wish I told Jared before today, I was like, oh, we should have got a picture of each baby dedication over this past 10 years. Just so many babies have been born over the past 10 years. And God has saved our kids. There's been so many baptisms of our children over the past 10 years, and just so much that God has done. It's just been absolutely amazing. And to see through the 3 different church buildings that we've been in, and like going from setting up every Sunday to then being in Grace Presbyterian's building,
mm-hmm.
and then like outgrowing that building, but all the sweet, I miss that building. Mallory and I were both like, oh, we miss that building. So much sweetness there with the red doors and just such good memories in like 2020 there, and like being in the parking lot and then maxing out the building and then moving to the new building and remodeling, and so much of just God's hand and provision and kindness to us.
How many meals have been made and given to each other?
Oh gosh.
Provided. And
yeah.
I mean,
so many prayers for each other, and it's been awesome.
It's all trips together,
mm-hmm.
going down to the river.
Yeah.
Just,
it's been super cool.
Yeah.
But before I start crying about that.
Yeah, because you're starting to water up over there.
You know,
waterworks.
Yeah, so let's talk about when we met. So speaking of not wanting to marry a pastor.
Yeah, let's go back 15 years then. Yeah, so we've been married 15 years. Actually, you probably need to go back about 17 and a half years.
Yeah.
To when we met. What was I doing?
We should maybe even go back a little bit further to you moving back to Southern Illinois.
Okay, yeah. So I went to college down in Tennessee, Cleveland, Tennessee. And my degree was in youth ministry. Down there in 2002, got back in late 2007, because in summer of 2007, me and a buddy of mine, we went out west. It was a crazy month, actually. We went 2 weeks to Ireland and then got back. I worked a couple days at Papa John's for gas money, and then we drove out west, and we went to Dallas, Phoenix, Vegas, and L.A.
How many miles did y'all drive?
It was like 6,000 miles in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I was going out there, actually interviewed at a church, and was just wanting to go out west and thinking I was going to move out west, and it was on that trip that I don't know. I was driving back from L.A., and I think we left on a Sunday and had to be back at Tuesday morning for work, or Tuesday afternoon for work.
This is nonstop driving.
East Tennessee. Yeah.
Nonstop driving in your little sister's car that you borrowed.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just a lot. And I just got a burden for Southern Illinois and home. And from that point on, I just started talking to people at home about all the people I knew that weren't in church anymore that were my buddies, and collected a group of friends, and somehow or another we'd piece together a group. And originally we weren't going to be a church plant, but I had been listening to Driscoll and Chandler, and this would have been in 2007 going into 2008, and really felt a burden to preach. God had called me to preach in 2004, and then we ended up planting. I wasn't ordained yet until that summer of 2008, but it all came together really quick. We got given up. A buddy of mine's dad or father-in-law gave me biblical eldership by Alexander Strach, and read that, had our elders read that, or the guys that we wanted to be elders, and just ended up being a church plant. And so, I don't know, God sent me back to Southern Illinois. My whole family's gone now. I'm the only one that's here. And I love it here. I love this area. I love these people. It's wonderful. And come to find out, the church that I grew up at was your Uncle Darren's church. And
which is not how we met, though.
No, which is not how we met. But it's funny because you visited our church growing up.
Yeah, we were probably there at some, because I don't know, I remember at least like two or three times going to church with him on Sunday mornings, and you and your family, I'm sure, were there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Because his mom was a children's minister there, but I never went to the kids' church. I always stayed with my uncle.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I ever met her or not.
We were far enough apart in age, too, that I probably wouldn't have noticed you like that.
Jared's because, 4 years older than me.
Yeah, but I was 5 grades. So when I was a senior, you were in 8th grade. I mean, if you came when I was a junior and you were in 7th grade, I wouldn't even.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and you were.
God, yeah. It looks like a 7-year-old.
Yeah.
But God just preserved the meeting, I guess, until the right time, because we probably were in the same building at some point in our growing up years.
So me and Chuck moved back. Chuck was one of my roommates in college. He moved back and he was doing worship leading stuff at the church. Mm-hmm. And we started in 2008. And then I guess I was preaching through books of the Bible, pastoring. And then that fall is when you and the girls showed up.
Yeah. So I moved to Carbondale in 2008, fall of 2008,
right,
to go to SIU.
Right.
And my very first class of the very first day of SIU, I was in a intro to psych class that was like 200 or 300 people. And I just remember that day. It was like sunny day. I remember sitting on a little curb outside waiting for it to start and then going in and being super full, you know, because I don't like to go places early. You know this about me.
Uh-huh.
So I was on my own terms at that point in life. So I wasn't going in there early.
Uh-huh.
I didn't have you to be like, no, we have to be there 10 minutes early minimum. Mm-hmm. That's late if you're there 10 minutes early to Jared.
Right.
So anyways, I'm like walking in 1 minute early. And most of the seats are full at that point, but there's like one seat open next to a couple girls. And I just go and sit there. And she's super sweet and talks to me and
Laura, right,
ends up being Laura.
Yeah.
And she invited me to, I don't think it was that night, but we end up being friends and hanging out multiple times. And she invites me to a church plant in Heron, which is where Jared was pastoring. So the very first day, my very first class at SIU, ton of people, I could have sat anywhere. God ordained me to sit by Laura, who invites me to church where you're pastoring. So I go there. I think I came in I came in fall of 2008. So we met but did you, is that where we first met, or do we first meet the night that we went to the Phil Wickham concert?
No, I think we met at church, and then, no, it wasn't Phil Wickham.
Was it?
No, it was that tall gangly guy. Not Phil Wickham. What was that guy's name? Phil Wickham is This Is Amazing Grace.
Okay.
This guy was somebody else.
Okay.
Can't remember his name, but it wasn't him.
Okay. It was someone that I had heard of.
He came to SIU. He actually came to our church.
Yeah. We saw him at the BCM. In a world where roughly 95 to 99% of dishes in American homes are machine-made, Abigail, with Taste and See Ceramics, is putting the clay back in the potter's hands. Hand-thrown and hand-glazed during nap time and bedtime, each mug is made with care and purpose. Inspired by the Proverbs 31 woman, Abigail has set a goal to sell 3,000 mugs in 2026. Support their family business at tasteandseeceramics.com or find them on Instagram and Facebook. Use code 3000 for 10% off your order and to be added to the list of people who make this dream a reality.
Yeah, he was at the BCM.
And then we all went to Denny's.
That was after you came and visited, though. And then at Denny's, where you thought I was a jerk, and I was trying to be funny.
You were. So I was sitting by all these girls, and he sat down beside me and said something. And I was like, what did you say? And he's like, oh, I'm not talking to you.
Yeah, and I thought for some reason it was being funny.
And now he says that was flirtatious. And I'm like, no, that was being a jerk. So I spent the first like few months of knowing him thinking that he was super rude.
Yeah, now I'm going to be just thinking about what that guy's name is.
All I can think other names.
Jason Morant.
Jason Morant. All I could think was Gavin DeGraw. And I'm like, that's not it. Gavin that's DeGraw. Not a Christian.
Don't want to be a prison god's son. What was it?
All I want to do.
Yeah. It was definitely not. Yeah. No, it's Jason Morant, who I think is probably a man of the faith at this point.
I mean, those people have.
Yeah.
So we have his name now.
Yeah, we've got his name.
Okay, so anyway, so you thought that was flirting with me, but it wasn't.
Yeah, so obviously, I'm not that good with ladies.
Thankfully.
Yeah, but then, you started coming to the church, though, and at that time, I was preaching through, and God's design for the church and family or something like that, the role of men and women in the home and church.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
is what it was.
Yeah, and I was hit or miss going because I was also going to the Vine, and the journey where we were was where Jared was pastoring only met on Sunday nights, so I would kind of come sporadically. I wasn't coming every Sunday night.
And we've told this before, but that was around the same time that I gave you Elizabeth Elliot books to read, right? Let Me Be a Woman and...
No, that was after we had started. You had started kind of inviting me to do random things, and I didn't know if you were trying to pursue me.
Okay.
I almost said get with me.
Yeah.
Look up. I couldn't tell if you were trying to get with me or just want me to like get more involved in the church.
Yeah, I didn't know how to pursue a woman while I was pastoring a church without it being weird and creepy.
Yeah, so he just instead invited me to do childcare and stuff.
Yeah, with me, though. I mean, with me. Hey, will you help me with this?
And so we like went into childcare together.
Which was really weird.
What's happening here?
Yeah, super weird. That resonated with you, though, where they just, the manhood and womanhood thing, where I don't think you'd heard that piece together, put together before.
Yeah, I just said, I think last week on the podcast about how my plan was that I was moving to Nashville to open a boutique. And I said all these really grand plans for my life. And so during this very formative time, Jared was going through the role of men and women in the church and the home. And I was like, yes, yes, this is so true. Because my parents lived this way. And
very much so.
I found it incredibly beautiful and found it very true. But for some reason, there was like a disconnect from the way I was raised to the way that I thought I needed to be. I don't know why.
Education?
Yeah, I guess so.
Because it was the culture. It was everything that was around you.
Yeah. So I just thought instead my role was to find this really grandiose God's will, God's mysterious will for my life, which was probably me being a boss babe or a missionary in a foreign country. But I didn't want to do that. So
right.
Boss babe for the glory of God somewhere.
Okay, so we started dating and I remember thinking, you're thinking about going to Nashville, and I remember thinking, gosh, we're just now, I mean, things are going really well. And are you just going to go? And so it did seem like something switched pretty quick there. And because I remember thinking, it's like, I can't chase you down. Like, I'm pastoring a church and plan on being here. And it'd be a huge bummer if you just ran off and went down to Nashville. But God put it together and it worked out.
And like I said last week, I was fine with abandoning that plan in hopes of having your babies. So
which we did. We did get counsel to wait. And to wait.
Oh, to wait.
When we got married, on having children after we got married, obviously.
Which we
not wait till we get married. I mean, obviously, we waited till we got married. But then after we got married, we were counseled to kind of kick the can down the road.
What he's talking about is as soon as we got married, people were like, don't have babies soon. Wait, just enjoy each other and have fun together and blah, blah, blah. And we wish that we would enough, but God is sovereign over all of that. So it's okay. And we really didn't wait that long. We were married 3 years and we were trying for a year. So yeah, we got married in July of 2010. Yeah,
94 or 5 degrees outside.
A very hot day. We had the most beautiful, amazing wedding ever, though. We got married outside at my uncle's house in the backyard, and just the sweetest. Can't think about that too much or I'll cry. My uncle put so much work into just
growing a field full of wildflowers.
He grew a field full of wildflowers for us and like made two little archways for us to walk through.
It was
wildflowers. And
fireworks going off in the background.
Redid his barn, which was just like a normal barn, into a barn that was beautiful that we could have our reception food in. And there's tables outside. And just you don't realize in the moment how much everyone is doing until afterwards. And you look back, you're like, man, everyone was so kind to us. And from people doing our flowers and Ariel doing so much and my parents doing so much and your parents doing so much. And it was just really sweet. Really, really sweet thinking about our wedding and how everyone was so kind to us. And so many people there that just loved us or do love us. And
used to love us.
In 2010. And just really, really sweet, meaningful time. And I'm so thankful.
We've had a lot of people for us and have walked with us and loved us well and supported us and still have so many people in our lives that love us and care about us.
Yeah. So we got married in 2010, and then we had Ransom in 2014, July of 2014. So it was like 3.5 years. But we tried to get pregnant for a year, which I feel like you don't remember this because I've said that before, that we tried for a year, and you're like,
we didn't try
for a year.
I don't remember things. Sorry.
Yeah, so we had like a year of trying before we could get pregnant with him. And then we did, and it was very exciting. And we quickly realize that morning sickness is a real thing.
And I remember going to tell your parents because they were in the camper as they were building, your dad was building his house.
Yeah.
And they were staying in the camper. And we went and announced that to them. That was pretty sweet.
That was really special.
Yeah.
So.
We were living in the trailer at the time.
Yeah.
1973 trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about that. And on a, if you haven't heard that story, you should go back and listen to our finances episode from like a million years ago. Because God miraculously provided for us. And
always has.
Oh, yeah.
Continues to do so.
Yeah. But at the very beginning of our marriage, right before we got married, we got a trailer remodeled. And God's just really nice.
Like
and
a home makeover.
Sweetest little trailer that we lived in and brought Ransom home in. And yeah, it was awesome. But anyways, morning sickness. I was too scared to pee on the stick for a very long time after I thought that I might be pregnant, you know, because I had, we'd been trying for years. So I peed on a lot of those and they were negative. And so you were finally like, pee on the stick right now.
Mm-hmm.
and I did. And it was positive. We're like, oh my gosh. And we had, that was the evening actually when that happened. And then the next morning I woke up incredibly morning sick. It's like, whoa, this is really, no one ever told me that this was what it was like. And I have intense morning sickness where I'm just like vomiting all day long for a very long time
every day
when I'm pregnant. But praise God.
It is. It's incredible thinking back because we got our four babies in a decade, all in one decade. But that finances episode is interesting, but I always, it's just, we just listened to Doug and Nancy's 50 year reflection or whatever. And we were hearing about how God provided for them. And it got me thinking again about how God has provided it for us over and over and over again. And from the trailer home makeover to family that helped us out to Darren wanting to build us a home and Denise wanting to help us build a home and all these people that have just, it's such a support and motivation to want to do this for our kids and grandkids, to be that kind of person, to be able to say, I can give you time, I can give you 3 months, I'm going to do whatever it takes, money, resources, whatever I've got, I'm going to help you succeed and help you do well. And we've been recipients of that. And then by random people like Bobby and Margaret Samuel, I always think about Margaret Samuel every single year when she gave us a check for $500 right after we backed our vehicle up.
I backed
our vehicle up and my toe hitch goes into a Cadillac. And then.
And this is probably before the year we were making 20 something thousand.
Yeah. I mean,
that felt
marriage,
like a lot.
Exactly. I've always worked like odd jobs, done whatever I can to make money. And then in the moment of need, right after I get a bill, and this is God's story with us over the years, is it's just such evidence that God is so faithful. And this is your story too, because you have these stories. It's not like we get them and you don't. You get them too. And Margaret walked up to us and she's with the Lord now. And we got tiger lilies growing in her backyard. And every year that those grow, I'm just reminded of Margaret.
And God's faithfulness.
And God's faithfulness, because she gives us a check for the exact penny that cost.
And
for
she
that
didn't
job.
Know. She didn't know anything about
and
it.
And they didn't have a lot of money.
No.
And that was a sacrifice for them.
Yeah, but she didn't know anything about the backing into a Cadillac situation.
She
was like, God just wants me to give you $500.
God wants me to give you this. And it was to the penny what we needed.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are small financial things that are just so precious that you never forget. You hold on to them. And it's like God's favor on our life as a couple. Then you just see all the things in the provision and just the, it's just been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And then with our children and the joy and life together, it's been incredible.
Just a million gazillion answered prayers.
Mm-hmm.
And
gazillion, is that a metric?
Yep. And I don't know if I'll be able to tell this story without crying for sure. But so after Ransom, then we get pregnant with Valor. And that's
well,
all
I'm
I can
not
say.
Gonna be able, I'm not going to be able to get through this one because we've never told this. I mean, just select few people. You want me to share it? Okay. So
yes.
Okay. Basically almost every single doctor's appointment for Jordan, I would go with her. And the prenatal points. And there was one when Jordan got pregnant a second time. There was one that I didn't go to at like week 4, 5.
Oh, no, it was like, you know, that very first ultrasound. But I went early because I was having a little bit of pain on one side. I was a little nervous about maybe it's what's it called when it's in one of your tubes?
Fallopian?
Yeah.
Ectopic, yeah.
Ectopic.
Yeah, okay.
I was like a little concerned about that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, let's come on in for a ultrasound. We'll double check. I think I was 6 weeks at this point. So they do an ultrasound And they took me in to...
I was not there.
Yeah, Jared wasn't there, so he did an ultrasound.
That was meeting with Kale Favre at the time.
Yeah.
At McDonald's.
And I did an ultrasound, and I remember, because I had ransom already, so I remember the first ultrasound that you go to, it usually looks like something in the circle, you know? Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing the circle, but I didn't see anything in it. And so I immediately, you know, they take you back to the waiting room until you see the doctor. And I remember looking up on my phone, like, when do you see something? And I'm like, this didn't feel normal to me. And so
I started getting phone calls.
Not yet. Called you yet at that point. And then I went in to tell the doctor, and she was like, hey, so this is a blighted ovum. And
like definitive.
Yeah. She's like, you're either going to miscarry or have to have a DNC. And, you know, and I was crying, obviously, and then trying to call Jared and driving home, just so sad. And she's like, just come back in 2 weeks. We'll do another ultrasound and decide where to go from there if you haven't miscarried yet. So I'm driving home trying to call Jared. And I don't think I ever got a hold of you until I got home.
Yeah, I mean, well, I saw the call, missed calls, and then I called and immediately left.
Yeah.
And I also, after we got this information, I talked to Micah about it. And he's like, man, she probably wouldn't have said that unless she was pretty certain about it. And
yeah, so got home just so sad. And we were in Sojourn Network at the time, and we were getting ready to leave for a pastors and wives retreat. And I was like, man, should I go? Like, is there a reason for me to not go? And they were just kind of like, you know, if you're going to miscarry, you're going to miscarry there or here. They didn't really have any qualms with me going ahead and traveling. So we went to the pastors and wives retreat. And I even spotted on the way there. Do you remember that?
I do. Yep.
And you, gosh, we didn't have a car there because we flew. She actually, do you remember running?
I do.
Why are we doing this episode? I don't like crying this much.
No, it's okay.
You're going to have to edit this a lot. So anyways.
It's raining too. I can't remember what I ran to get.
I
ran
just to Walmart. Ran to Walmart in the rain.
Yeah, to get something.
Like a couple miles.
I don't know.
To get some stuff for me.
Yeah. That's when Orlando and Pam were so precious to us.
Yeah.
And so sweet.
Some friends.
Yep. So our friends from Sojourn Network, they were so sweet, and we were sitting around the hot tub, and they just...
I don't know how it came up.
I don't know either.
Because
I think we were going through a tough time too.
Yeah.
And they didn't know that for 2 weeks we were just basically grieving.
We were in limbo, just waiting.
Yeah. And I, you know, looking back, for some reason, I had a piece about everything. I didn't know because it was definitive. It was a scary time because when you're in seasons like that, you're scared to hope.
Yeah.
You're scared to pray even prayers of faith because you're so mixed of not knowing what to do and what to pray for and getting your hopes up. And then the doctor was so definitive. And here my wife's grieving, and I'm trying to just work through all this together and help her navigate these things. And also for me, you know, it's different for a man than it is for a woman. And we were just grieving about that. And you know, really, we've not talked about this to a lot of people. I mean, hardly at all.
It's very rough for me.
And we've never talked about this on a podcast.
I mean, I don't know why I brought it up.
I didn't know we were doing this today.
Sorry.
But then we get back, and here comes the appointment where we go back. And we get
it. But anyways, Orlando and Pam prayed for us.
Yes,
and
they were so sweet.
We had a lot of sweet,
so sweet
stuff with people there. So, so we're going back for our ultrasound. And, you know, we're just kind of prepared for whatever. And because we felt like the doctor was so definitive, but we were praying that he would be there. And then we'd see it in a heartbeat, and then we would see it fast. And so they did the ultrasound.
No, hold on. Tell about the peppy nurse.
Oh.
I really like that.
Yeah.
She's so, like, happy. We walk in, and she's like, okay, we're going to see if we can see a heartbeat today. And Jordan was like, well, actually, it was a blighted ovum.
They told me that it was a blighted ovum, and she was like, what?
No, it isn't. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And she pulls open the file. She's like, come on, just sit down here.
Let's just check.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And she's like, why did she tell you that?
Yeah.
And within...
So anyways, they put the ultrasound thing on my belly, and immediately we see his heartbeat.
Yeah. And we were like celebrating in the room. There's Valor.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, just celebrating. And he's out there right now playing.
I'm so thankful.
And so sweet. And we grieved for 2 weeks as if, I mean, we just didn't know. And then now on the backside of this whole thing of Valor just turned 8. And oh gosh, like I just couldn't imagine life without him.
But when you just think back on answered prayer like that.
I know.
It's just like there's in our life, there's been so much answered prayer. And even so many things that God has said no to.
Oh yeah.
that I consider answered prayer. There's been things recently in our life that God has said no to, that has been days of difficulty to process. I wonder why the
emotional turmoil of it, you mean? Like,
yeah,
the,
I'm just
the roller coaster?
Trying to breathe so I can talk without quivering in my voice.
Yeah.
Yeah, why, like, the emotional roller coaster, Lord? If it was going to be no, why the emotional roller coaster of it all?
Mm-hmm.
If God was going to answer no, why the emotional roller coaster?
Why, like, dangle a carrot almost?
Right. Like, why the carrot? Right. I've said that. Like, why the carrot, I wonder? But, like, even in that, I know that God was building our character.
Yeah.
And like, answered prayers are not just, yes, absolutely, what this story we just described is, like, amazing treasure.
Yeah.
But even when God says no, he's building our character.
Absolutely.
And that's an answered prayer in a different way.
Well, I remember a time in, you know, it's crazy because, like, as you say that, you know, we go back early in the church and you hear of Kurt and Kathy. And you remember Patty.
Yeah.
And Kathy was a lady at her church, and a friend of mine, Kurt, his wife, had been battling cancer for 7 years, praying, asking for healing, and she got her deliverance and healing by going to be with the Lord. And Miss Patty, Patty came up to me and she said, I remember it was like 8 years ago. It was like last Sunday. She's like, 8 years ago today that you and the elders anointed me with oil and I was healed from cancer. And we prayed, and it was at that same time. And there's two answers to prayer that two look differently.
Yeah.
And yet Kurt and those around in their family celebrated the Lord. And for us, so it's like, that's just kind of like a big example, obviously. But yeah, I mean, the no's are answered prayers. I mean, from our Heavenly Father.
And even like thinking about the past 15 years of our life, of like, at the beginning of our marriage, there was like 2.5 year ministry stints for you.
Oh,
we were like 2.5 years at this church, 2.5 years at this church, 2.5 years at this church. And it felt so exhausting. Like, no. God, can we please put down roots?
Please put down roots.
We feel so crazy. We feel so like flakes. We feel like we're the people who like just flip flop everywhere. We don't want to do this. But like, we had to have those 2.5 years to get to these 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And if we didn't have those 2.5 years, we wouldn't have had these 2.5 years that pushed us to these 10 years. And it's like, God just has this really intricate chess game going on in our life that if this move doesn't happen, you can't do this move. And it's like, God's got to build this character for this to happen. And I don't know, you got to just trust him in the process of all of it. But it's interesting to think back now.
Yeah.
And I'm sure at the end of our life, we'll have so many more insights than what we do right now. But even on, you know, these past 10 years at Christ Church and how incredible it's been to look back on those 2.5 year stints and be like, if we didn't do that, it wouldn't have led us to where we were.
Well, and during that time, it was interesting because I grew up in a church with the stability of a pastor who had been there the entire time since I was born. Basically, there was like one guy, and then the second guy came, and he was there for all that I remembered, except for like the earliest years, barely. The church was at that time 30-something years old, but two pastors was it. And large church. So there was that stability of long term. And I always wanted to be a pastor in one place for a long period of time. And so I remember people coming to me after 2.5 years, that obviously this is a pattern. This is everything about you. I'm like, I promise this is not.
Yeah.
No, I want to be somewhere for a long time. Mm-hmm. But there was providential reasons why each time we had to move. Mm-hmm. And I remember Darren Patrick during the last transition. Mm-hmm. He was like, Jared, you need to stick it out somewhere for a long time after this. And it's like, man, that's what I want.
Yeah, I'm not trying to do this.
But he was the one of the ones that encouraged us to plant the church.
Yeah.
And, you know, wrote kind words and encouragements and all of that. And, you know, that's a whole another story. But that was the desire all along. And I remember Uncle Darren was like that too. He's like, hey, it doesn't need to be 2.5 years. And like, I know. Mm-hmm. And God has just answered prayer. So when we broke through that barrier of 2.5 years together, it was like, yes, we're 2.5 year mark of Christ Church.
Yeah.
And now we're at 10.
Yeah. So praise awesome. God. So yeah. So Valor was born, and all this time we're, you know, starting homeschooling and trying to figure out that, and trying to figure out like educating our children and the importance of that. And what I'm trying to think what else is in that little stint of time.
I can't remember. I'm just thinking about how good this is to reflect on.
Oh man.
Honestly, if everybody out there would just spend 30 minutes or an hour reflecting on your story.
Like, spend some time tonight with your husband telling your story to each other.
Yeah, it's so good.
Ball your eyes out.
I know.
But then we get pregnant again. And, you know, I feel like every time I got pregnant and had a baby, we were kind of like, we should probably be done now. Just because it's, I have really hard pregnancies, C-sections, kidney stones. Like, it's just not easy. Every time I have a baby, it's not easy.
And before 2018 and Doug Wilson, we were like, basically everybody in our family, everybody in our world, to have two kids and basically you're done.
Yeah.
And I always wanted four kids. I don't know why. In fact, one of my earliest prayers that I had written down as a kid was that I would have a pretty wife and four kids.
Really?
Yeah, I've got that written down somewhere. It's not on that one. That's one from 1996, and it says, Lord, I pray for my future wife. I pray that she is very, very pretty.
P-R-I-T-T-E-Y.
Yeah, and that she is a Christian. Mm-hmm. So, answered prayer right there. Answered prayer.
Another.
I mean, that, let's see. In 12 of 96, I would have been like 13 years old then.
That's funny.
So, was praying that. So wait a minute, that's pretty sad that at 13 years old, the way
you
I spelled pretty.
Still couldn't smell pretty.
Was P-R-I-T-T-E-Y.
Gives me hope for our children.
Oh, gracious. Public school.
And that's what I was going to say, and you're a public school. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's great. So yeah, then we, like 2 years later, we decide we should have another baby.
Mm-hmm.
And get pregnant again. We've already had two boys, so I'm like, it's definitely going to be a boy again. Every time we get pregnant, I guess, and I'm always wrong. So figured it would be a boy again, and then this time it was a girl. I was like, it's a girl? And this was 2020, which actually is like my favorite year of life ever. I love it when everything is closed and we can do nothing. And it was actually a great year to...
Except Rural King.
Oh, we would just go to Rural... 2020 was just the best year.
It's great. We would have with no masks or anything in Rural King.
Yeah, we just...
We were the rebels that were like, I'm not putting a mask on. Kick me out if you want.
Yeah. Got kicked out of Kroger once. Good times. Good times. But... Yeah, found out it was a girl, came home, the boys shot a balloon BB with a BB gun, pink came.
That was precious. And then Ransom was crying when
Ransom was bawling, so excited about
it. What's up with our family and crying?
All bags. But yeah, and that was just a really, really sweet year of intentionality and homewardness and slowness. And yeah, it was actually a great year for being pregnant because you don't have to go anywhere and because most of your prenatal appointments are telemed. So the doctor would just FaceTime you and be like, feeling all right? Feeling great. Mm-hmm. All right. See you later.
It's funny though. Our church grew like crazy then.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a lot of people that showed up. And so we had
probably
Sundays.
Probably because we were having church.
Yeah. We weren't doing small groups. We were doing Sunday mornings and everything was normal there, which was great. But so Providence came along. So we had a little girl and had to get used to that.
So fun. So sweet. She's so sweet.
She's so sweet.
She's amazing.
So cute. Fun. Yeah. Wants to be a helper.
Yeah. But it's just been really, really cool getting to see our kids become Christians then.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing that might make me cry, but I'll try to talk about it. But just seeing, like, before God saved Ransom, I remember saying, if he professes faith in Christ, I will know that I know that it was God that saved him. Because every time that we would try to talk to him about things whenever he was little, he would act so weird. He would act so weird and he would just like get nervous and awkward, be like, I don't want to talk about it and just feel weird. And so we didn't really push him on it, you know, but we did family worship every night and just continued to talk to have conversations. And there was one day that he just turned to his dad and
Sunday
was like,
afternoon.
Dad, how to become a Christian.
Yeah, he'd been thinking about it.
Yeah.
And we recognize the way we say it at our church and what I've taught our people is what you're looking for is God-given faith, not full understanding of what's happening or even a full understanding of the gospel. We're not saved by grace through faith because of our perfect understanding of the gospel of Jesus. Certainly, there's some data points that need to be known. But children can answer questions truthfully, like theological questions, truthfully, better than they can articulate those theological realities. And so if you ask them real questions about sin, about Jesus, about the cross, about the resurrection, about forgiveness of sins, about the need for forgiveness, they can truthfully answer yes. And so we're looking for God-given faith. So our kids have confessed Christ young, and now with Oak came along a couple more years. And my prayer every night was, you know, both of his names have great meaning to us. And Oak Stonewall, and we want him to be deeply rooted. This is what my prayer is anyways. I don't know if you've ever prayed this, but this is my prayer every night, is that that he would be saved at early age, that he would be deeply rooted, strong, and courageous. And we're expecting that. And I just have, God's given me faith that I fully expect all my kids to know the Lord, grandkids to know the Lord, and there's just a certainty in my mind and heart that's...
So Ransom, Valor, and Providence have all been saved and baptized, and we're so thankful that God has saved them. And the way that I've explained it to before to people, because they're all really young and profess faith, and we do not delay in baptizing them. And the way that I've said before is, if you are on a missionary trip somewhere and someone, and you're preaching the gospel to this person who's never heard it before, this is the first taste that they have of the gospel, and the person's like, yes, can I be baptized? Can I be saved? How do I do this? Will you baptize me? And you're like, let me ask you some questions, and we are going to take some time and really make sure that this is genuine. No, you'd be like, yes, let's baptize you. Absolutely. And you would be so excited that this person that you shared the gospel with wanted to be baptized. Mm-hmm. You would not question it and be like, I don't think so. You'd be like, God's saving you. Let's get baptized.
Especially if you had access to them every day to disciple them afterwards and train them up and, you know, catechize them and teach them the Bible and just bring them into a Christian culture. Of course, you'd be super excited about that. And then what they're going to catch, and that's what our kids are going to catch, is walking with the Lord.
And all of them, all the three now have, that's what's happened. They've come to us and been like, I want to be baptized. I want to be saved. I want to be baptized. Can I be baptized? We're like, yes, you can.
Yeah.
And Jared talks them about it. But I like to think of it in terms of that. If it was an adult coming to you who you'd shared the gospel with and saying, can I be saved? Can I be baptized? And begging you for that, would you ever put them off?
Right. Yeah, and I think it's important to talk to your pastors about that as well, because different churches handle this a little bit differently.
Sure.
And the way I've said it is, you know, you've got to require obedience of your children. If you're raising them in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord, if they confess Christ as Lord, then you need to require them to be baptized, because that's obedience to Jesus. And, you know, your elders, you want to make sure you're in an environment where elders are not delaying baptism until your kids are 16 or 18 years old and having to do fruit inspection for a decade. And, you know, obviously you need to be submissive to your elders, but I'm just saying that those kind of questions are important. And, you know, so for us, that's kind of how we've done it. And that's why we baptize young. And
the way that Nancy Wilson puts it is, if God is saving our children young, then we are supposed to be the support beside the little sapling tree. Is you would like put a piece of metal beside the tree and kind of strap it to it and make sure it stays steady when it's in a storm and the wind's blowing. You're like, no, I'm right here. Like, I'm going to help you grow up in strength and straightness and make sure that you are healthy.
Yeah.
And not instead, many Christians are like, let me shake you a little bit. Let me pull you over. Let me see if you snap. Let me shake it a little bit. Like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But we treat salvation with children in a weird way sometimes.
Yeah, especially as kids are
just
growing.
Christian community, I mean.
Right. Or we expect Christian children as they're growing to not have difficulty in growing up and having different struggles of, you know, as they're growing and their hormones are coming in and not having, you know, it's like they're not sanctified adults. They're still children who have still real struggles, and that requires discipline from parents. Mm-hmm. And the rod of discipline drives that far from them. And so they're still going to have those things. It doesn't mean they're not saved.
Yeah.
So for us, the four kids, I mean, all of that is tied in. And now we're just talking as like, man, we need to go on more dates and we need to spend time together. Cause when we spend time together, it's just so much fun. And we, from antiquing to doing trips together to Charleston, to anything that we've done together, is just so much fun. And then as you have four kids and as life is going with homeschooling, it gets so easy to not prioritize that. And that's what we're working on. I mean, as of now, of how do we prioritize it?
And I think through times of difficulty in marriage, or just like seasons where it's like, this isn't simple, you know, this isn't leisurely or simple or slow.
You mean like our whole life right now?
Yeah. Just being reminded to be thankful. You can get through a lot of things in life if you will stop and be thankful. Becky tells her kids whenever they're having a grump fest, what's three things you're thankful for?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great thing for adults to do.
It is.
Hey, what's three things you're thankful for? And tell me right now, what's three things you're thankful for? And I remember one night sitting on the front porch with my mom. I don't know where you were. You weren't here. But sitting on the front porch with mom and doing, over the summer, because it was on the porch. So over the summertime, doing a Bible study thing. And the kids were out front playing in the yard and just, you know, coming up every 15 seconds, needing something. And we could barely have a conversation. you know, just life with a bunch of little kids and then trying to, it's like the meme, you know, of like what a conversation looks like when you're talking to someone, but all your kids are there too. And how they're just being kids and they're around and they need a drink and they've found something they want to show you. And that can either be really, really frustrating, or you can be like, God, thank you so much that I am sitting on the porch looking at four beautiful children.
Yeah.
And that was another day that I was just like brought to tears because it was like, Lord, forgive me for not being thankful, for being frustrated at times at a season of busyness and interruption and chaos and so many things to juggle and so many irons in the fire and so much to remember and so much to do. Forgive me, Lord, for not being thankful because of your abundant blessing and having a lot to do, having a lot on your mind, having a lot of responsibilities means that God has abundantly blessed you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's like, good. you know what's really leisurely and calm? A silent home. And you know what's also really lonely and sad? A silent home.
Yeah.
You don't want that. You don't want a steady diet of being alone. Mm. That's not what you want in life. But in seasons of like, there's a lot going on, you can think that's what you want. And instead you need to stop and be like, no, thank you, God, for all the noise and all the chaos. So anyways, just saying that in times of difficulty in marriage, even stopping, what am I thankful for?
Yeah.
Thank you that I have a husband. Thank you that we are married. Thank you for our children.
Yeah. So good. Very good.
Every night when we get in bed, we're like, oh, thank you for this bed.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I know,
Lord.
Right?
Thank you for this bed. Every night we talk about how much we love our bed.
I know.
We should do an ad for our bed. No, we just have a cheap Amazon mattress. But it's
wonderful somehow.
It's amazing.
It's the firmness.
Yeah. Not everybody likes that. But
my buckwheat hull pillow. I mean, you know how much I love that.
Jared has a buckwheat hull pillow and he's used it forever.
I can definitely
It's
do
literally
an ad for that.
Like a bag full of acorns.
Yeah,
mashed up
very
acorns.
Very firm.
Chopped up acorns is what it
it's
feels
wonderful.
Like.
Unless you have a migraine, then I have to have my avocado.
Then you got to have, yeah, that's not made up of avocados. That's just the brand. It's like memory.
Chopped up. I switch it out every night. Avocados a day.
Fresh avocados. We're very,
very, very wealthy, right?
we mash our avocados and eggs for our pillows. No, I don't know why.
This has been great.
Thankful. Just being thankful. Great.
Yeah. Use this as a template to encourage you guys.
Spend
some
time
about your life and
with your husband,
marriage,
with your spouse,
family.
And this Valentine's Day, reflect on the love that God has given you for your spouse, not the things that you wish were different or you wish were easier or more restful or more luxurious. Be thankful for what is in front of you and think about all the wonderful, wonderful things that you have to be thankful for.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For listening.